You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio.
Attention.
Attention.
People of Earth.
Earth Angel. Earth Angel.
Heaven is a place on earth.
I feel the earth move under my feet.
Welcome to Grape Encounters Radio and happy Earth Day weekend. It's David Wilson, your host. And you know, I can't think of a better way to celebrate Earth Day than with a great glass of wine. And today we're going to get some very interesting perspective on the relationship between winemaking and Mother Earth. And we've got some very interesting guests to share with you today. You know, the past couple of weeks, I think we were a little bit slighted featuring California winemakers because we spent so much time out on the Central Coast, and it was certainly well worth it. But I really wanted to make sure that we get around the country a little bit more. And one region that I feel like we've kind of neglected for a while, not on purpose, but just because there's so much winemaking going on across this great country of ours. But that state is Washington. And so I'm very pleased to welcome to Grape Encounters Radio, Ryan Pennington. He is the PR director of the Washington State Wine Commission. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you, David. Glad to be with you.
You know, it's really funny because I think it was probably about a year ago, I was doing a story on screw cap enclosures. I didn't realize how many people were monitoring Grape Encounters Radio up in your state. Boy, oh boy, did they give me a lot of grief because I had just said that I didn't like screw caps very much because they took a lot of the romanticism out of the wine drinking process, and they took me to task. And what ended up happening was some very spirited debate between myself and some folks up there. It really was a lot of fun, but it also illuminated a lot of what's going on in the state of Washington, also up in the state of Oregon. But things are going great up there, aren't they?
They are indeed. We've seen phenomenal growth in our industry really over the past 6 or 7 years, and lots of exciting things going on.
So what would you characterize the growth in wine production in the state of Washington, you know, now versus 6 or 7 years ago? Do you have a percentage?
Our industry has doubled in the number of wineries over the past 5 years, from 350 to now 750.
Now, and a lot of what you're doing up there, I think, really is setting a new bar and is cutting edge. You know, I mentioned the screw cap enclosures, and that's a big thing up there, right?
It is, yeah. There are a lot of people using the screw cap closure. Still a lot of people using cork, and there are certainly, as you mentioned, strong feelings on both sides of that. But I think what it shows is this spirit of experimentation and innovation that really runs throughout Washington and Oregon, throughout the Northwest.
Now, we're seeing, obviously, the greatest growth in wine consumption coming from younger generations right now. And they are seemingly less sensitive to things like screw cap enclosures and boxed wines and those sorts of things, and maybe more interested in things that are eco-friendly. Is that what you're experiencing there?
We have found that to be the case, that millennials are less interested in a particular kind of packaging and more interested in really the story behind the wine. And that can be a story from a sustainability standpoint or a story in terms of the property and the winemaker.
How much effort's going into targeting the young audience in Washington? I know it certainly is a priority most places, but I would imagine it might even be a bigger priority there.
We have absolutely made it a priority to target the millennial generation and demographic in our activities. We actually started an event 5 years ago called 20-something, the New Vintage, which is a great tasting event for younger wine lovers. We've taken the traditional wine tasting format of winemakers behind a table pouring and turned it around a little bit and removed all of the tables, put it in a setting on a Saturday night with a DJ, more friendly for that demographic, and just really encouraged the winemakers walking around with bottles in their hands to mix and mingle with the crowd. And it's much more approachable And we found leads to a great interaction between the customers and the winemakers. And again, delivering that story that they really want behind the wall.
Well, when it comes to pretentiousness, the walls are definitely tumbling down. But I think nowhere do we see that happening more than the Pacific Northwest. I think that there is a complete disregard for pretentiousness up there. At least that's my perception.
I think you're absolutely right. We've never seen ourselves as a pretentious industry. We're very approachable, very down-to-earth and genuine. More often than not, when you go to a winery in Washington State and you walk into the tasting room, the person standing behind the bar is going to be the owner and the winemaker and the chief bottle washer. And they're going to be, you know, in a blue jeans and a baseball cap. We're very much down to earth and approachable in our industry.
That unpretentious voice that you are hearing is that of Ryan Pennington. He's the PR director for the Washington State Wine Commission. And Ryan, let's talk a little bit about Earth Day and the whole idea of sustainability, and also touch on organic and biodynamic wines. It's really becoming a very high priority for many winemakers now.
It is indeed, and it is indeed a priority in Washington State. We have several winemakers who have gone to the extent of getting organic certification and biodynamic certification, but there's really an ethic of sustainability that runs throughout our industry, even when it doesn't reach that level of certification. Our growers have long been great stewards of the land and are very conscious about inputs that they put into their vineyards being as minimal as possible, not only for the safety of the consumers and the quality of the product, but for the safety of the workers who are working the vineyards.
Yes.
It's really all about people.
Let me ask you this for the sake of simplicity. Is there a good working definition for sustainability?
You know, there really isn't. It means different things to different people.
Yeah, that's what I see, yes.
Yeah, one of the things I think is important to realize is that sustainability means that it's not only good for the land and good for the water, but that it's good for the people. Not only the people that work the land, but the people involved in the business itself.
There are a lot of winemakers that take a lot of pride in pointing out the fact that they don't pay their workers slave wages, that they pay them very well, that they offer them benefits, that they take very good care of them. And that's an important part of the sustainability concept, you know, that people who work out in the vineyards can live off of the labor that they put into growing grapes.
David, I think that's absolutely right. That should be, in my view, considered just as much as what happens in the vineyard and in the cellar from an environmental perspective in the overall equation of sustainability. And even beyond just the vineyard workers, going so far as to cover health care for all of your employees and make sure that your business plan is sound so that you don't go out of business and put those employees out of work.
Well, it's pretty interesting because, you know, somebody who's making wines, which is considered to be a luxury product, is in a part of the agriculture business that's far different than if you're, you know, growing peas or broccoli. There aren't the profit margins available in some types of you know, produce production that there might be in making wine. And it seems only fair that if you're dealing in a high-end product, and I realize the profits aren't always there for the winemakers, but if you're dealing in a product that has the potential to earn a lot of dollars, that the people who make it ought to be rewarded.
I think you're right, and I think they feel a responsibility to give back to the people who have contributed to putting that product onto the shelf. I also think the wine industry in general, just by the nature of the production, takes a very long view of things. When it takes 3 years or more to bring a vineyard into production,
right,
you know what you're getting into going into that, and you have a long view of your business and the people who work in your business. And making sure that you're sustainable on all fronts really feeds into that.
So the idea is basically to be a little bit on the cliche side, but you're trying to live off the land as best you can and input very little into the process from the outside world.
From the environmental standpoint, that's absolutely correct. We always encourage people to be as minimal minimalistic as possible in terms of the inputs to their vineyards. When they are using products, try to use those that are of least impact to the ground and to the vines and to the workers in the vineyard. And use products that are themselves sustainable or natural in terms of pest or disease control.
Well, there are a couple more things that I'd love to have you sort out for the listeners, and then I have a very tough question for you. So if you can hang with us, I'd really appreciate it. It's Ryan Pennington, PR Director for the Washington State Wine Commission, and you can actually go to washingtonwine.org and find out all about them. We will continue this conversation. It's an absolute must on Grape Encounters Radio.
Compromise is for relationships, not wine. Besides, a good bottle of wine will settle almost any argument. You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio.
Lots of wineries talk about growing great grapes. This winery talks about growing great wines. Sarlos & Sons in Los Olivos, California, grows great wine, period. This family winemaking operation doesn't have a traditional mission statement. They have a family creed. Live to honor those that come before us and prepare the way for those yet to come. It's with this sense of pride that Sarlos & Sons grows great wine. Grapes growing in the shadow of the farmer ensures the highest quality of grapes are used in Sarlos & Sons wines. Check them out at sarlosandsons.com and also be sure to check out their once-in-a-lifetime wines. Sarlos & Sons is a dream coming true, and they can help make your dreams come true with their exclusive once-in-a-lifetime wines, which commemorate those unrepeatable, unforgettable moments in your life. Learn more about this and more at sarlosandsons.com. That's S-A-A-R-L-O-O-S and sons.com.
We are so fortunate on Grape Encounters Radio to have some incredible authors of books related to wine on the show. But there are two books that I really have a soft spot in my heart for. The first one is a book that just came out. It's called Yard Wine. It's a neighborly thing written by Nancy Roddy and Kathy Larson. Oh my gosh, if you want to know how to bring your neighborhood together using a bottle of wine and your front porch, then pick up a copy of Yard Wine. You'll find the link at grapeencounters.com. Now, another book that I've got a real soft spot for is Tom Silberkleit's California Directory of Fine Wineries. There is no better wine-related travel book than the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Absolutely spectacular photographs, great information. This book will make you salivate more than a great Cabernet Sauvignon. You'll find a link to Tom's book also on grapeencounters.com. Check out the reading material at grapeencounters.com. It's Grape Encounters Radio, and we are spending some long overdue time with Ryan Pennington. He's the PR director of the Washington State Wine Commission. What is the role, Ryan, of the Wine Commission in quality?
Our primary role in encouraging high-quality production has been to really invest in research in our industry. Washington State University has long been a great leader in viticulture and enology research. The Wine Commission has just dedicated over $7 million to the construction of a new research and teaching winery in eastern Washington, in the heart of our wine country. So research not only helps feed into producing high-quality wines now, but it really gets to sustaining the growth of our industry over the long term.
The relationship between universities and winemaking is exciting in a lot of states. It's really a wonderful partnership, isn't it?
It is indeed. Not only provides base of knowledge that feeds those who are currently in our industry, but it also provides highly skilled and highly trained workforce that's really going to feed into our industry for years to come as well.
Okay, so people are hearing two terms more and more. One of them they've known their whole lives. The other one is a newer term for many people, organic and biodynamic. Can you quickly tell people the difference between the two and what it takes to be called organic and biodynamic?
Sure. Organic is a set of practices really managing inputs both in the vineyard and in the cellar. In the vineyard, again, it really is minimizing the use of manipulation of the soils and of the plants with harsh chemicals. The cellar, primarily it pertains to adding sulfites to wine, which are normally added to be a preservative to wine, but fortunately, organic certification does not allow addition of sulfite, managing on the vineyard side and on the cellar. Biodynamic, on the other hand, really speaks to the relationship of the worker in the vineyard to the land and to really to the cycle of life. It's a set of practices aligned with lunar calendar and again speaks to having those working the land be most in tune with what's going on in the vineyard.
How popular are biodynamic practices versus organic practices in the state of Washington?
In Washington, organic practices or minimalistic inputs, both in the vineyard and in the cellar, have long been a part of our industry. We haven't had an overwhelming number of our industry go to the extent of certification, but particularly in the vineyard, organic practices are, I would say, the norm. Biodynamic, it's certainly, there are several certified biodynamic vineyards and wineries in Washington State. Those practices are, I would say, emerging. They're becoming more and more interest, that harmony and synergy of those working the land and their what's going on in their vineyard.
I think the main thing for listeners to understand is that there are some great organic and biodynamic wines being made now. And there was a time when I couldn't have said that I would open up a bottle of, quote, organic wine and was disappointed, but they really have reached a new place in terms of quality. The bar has risen incredibly, and the wines are great.
I couldn't agree more, and we've seen some really fantastic organic wines coming out of Washington. Snoqualmie Winery has great production. Consumers around the country can actually find that. Badger Mountain Vineyard is another one. They were one of the first to really subscribe to organic practices in Washington. They've been around more than 20 years now. Both of those wines are absolutely phenomenal.
Okay, so I got to change the subject for just a minute because we just have a minute, but there was a story that came out a week or two ago from the White House, and our president has now made it a point to not disclose certain things about the wines served at state dinners because by telling what they paid for it or even by disclosing what the wine is, it, according to them, gives that winemaker an unfair advantage and they get to make a whole lot of money on the wine. How do you feel about that?
You know, David, I really think that's unfortunate. The world's eye is on the White House when we host another head of state for a state dinner, and we really want to show off best that America has to offer. And certainly, American wines, not just Washington, Oregon, California, but all American wines, are really competing on a global stage. And I think to not take the opportunity to promote that in the spotlight of a state dinner is really unfortunate.
It was actually a Washington Cabernet Sauvignon that started this whole affair. It originally sold for $115 a bottle. By the time word got out about this wine, it was selling for $399 a bottle. And I say, you know what? If you're good enough to be served at a state dinner, then doggone it, you're good enough to receive the benefits of that, you know, unintentional endorsement. Why not?
Absolutely. And let's hope that cooler heads prevail and that we get back to celebrating American wine soon.
Yeah, I just can't stand the idea of going to a state dinner and seeing a plain blue label stretched around the bottle so nobody knows what they're drinking. It's so amazing that Bordeaux that were selling for under $100 are selling for $500 in China right now because they're so hot. And, you know, we certainly could use that kind of recognition here in America. And I'd certainly like to see the White House step up to the plate and help us out.
Absolutely. And I think what gets lost here is that by the vast majority, most wineries are small businesses.
Yeah.
And when those wines sell, that revenue gets plowed back into local economies around.
Absolutely. And it doesn't impact the lower priced wines. It doesn't mean that people who are only paying $10 for a bottle are going to suddenly pay $13. It has no impact whatsoever. It just creates some shining examples of great wines that get special recognition and command a pretty good price. And that money does go back into the economy.
Absolutely. And there's always the notion of the rising tide lifts all boats. And the more acclaim that we can bring for American wine through things like state dinners, even those wineries who aren't featured benefit from that.
You know what? Truer words could not be spoken. I'm so glad to have had a chance to talk to you, Ryan. It's Ryan Pennington, PR Director for the Washington State Wine Commission. I'll tell you what, if you haven't experimented with Washington wines, it's time that you do it because they are truly wonderful and consistently good. You can learn more about the commission at washingtonwine.org. Ryan, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure.
And Grape Encounters continues.
The first glass of wine is for yourself. The second for Grape Encounters Radio.
Tired of being caught unprepared? Want to be a good scout? That's what we thought. With Napkin by JNC Enterprises, you can be Johnny on the spot and be prepared for unexpected messes. The Napkin is one very clever product. These little beauties are barely the size of a small breath mint, but they come to life as a durable, convenient, and sturdy hand towel with just a few drops of water. You'll want to keep a supply of napkins everywhere you would keep a hand towel, paper towel, wash rag, or moist towelette. Napkin is all of these things in one very compact little tablet. Use it to wipe greasy hands, remove makeup, and even to entertain dinner guests. You never know when Napkin will come in handy. Get Napkin at NapkinJNC.com. It's completely eco-friendly and made of 100% recycled paper. Clean your environment and keep the environment clean with Napkin from NapkinJNC.com.
One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out GrapeEncounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not going to hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's GrapeEncounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. GrapeEncounters.com. Back with Grape Encounters Radio, David Wilson. It is Earth Day weekend. Earth Day is, of course, Sunday. Celebrations going on all across America. Oh, well, really all across the world. And you know, there's an awful lot that's going on to celebrate Earth Day in the wine business. April is actually called California Wine Down to Earth Month. It got its name from the Wine Institute, which represents California's wine industry. They created California Wines Down to Earth Month. The discussion really today, we started it up in Washington. We were talking about sustainability. I wanted to get on the line somebody who has a very interesting and exciting sustainability story because they're a pretty good size operation. And I think no matter where you live and where you're listening to Grape Encounters Radio, you're probably familiar with their wines. Not only that, you probably love their wines because their wines are very, very consistent. And so I think this is a winery you'll be able to relate to, and also a winery that can prove the point that you can have really stellar practices in the vineyard, in the winemaking operation, and still turn out terrific wine. So I have on the line, it's a great privilege to have on the line, Kathy Benziger of the Benziger Family Winery. Kathy, welcome.
Oh, David, thank you. It's great to be spending Earth Day weekend with you and your listeners.
Well, I'd like to be out and about, you know, pushing around one of those giant, like, 40-foot inflatable earth balls or something, but
well, come over to our place. I think we're going to have one.
Oh, are you really? How cool is that? Well, you know, you really are an amazing operation, and this isn't a paid commercial for Benziger. It's just that go into a wine shop. It might be a small wine shop or someplace that has, you know, not the biggest selection. A lot of times you will see your wines there, and given the choice of your wines and what else might be offered there, it's always good. It's always consistent. Yet you seem to have, you know, very good distribution, but not the biggest winery in the world, but you certainly are out there.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I appreciate you saying all that, David. I'm very, very proud of what my family has achieved. You know, when we made the commitment back in 1995 to sustainable, organic, and biodynamic farming, we did it because we saw the consolidation coming down the pike in the industry.
Yeah.
And knew if we were going to stay family-owned and operated, you know, we needed to make some serious changes. We could no longer try to compete on that, you know, quantity, commodity scale. The big boys win out every time. You know, they'll chew you up and spit you out.
How many times have they come your way offering trinkets and
wanting to have you join the group? You look at just, you know, last week, Kenwood sold. And in the last year, people like Landmark, Sagacio, McCrosty, you know. So it is definitely out there. These corporations are coming down the pike. So, you know, we knew that it has to be about quality.
So I got this image of you and the rest of the family. I think you have six siblings, don't you?
I do. I have five older brothers.
And the big companies that are buying up all the wineries, they pull up in a dark sedan in front of the winery, and then all of a sudden you hear that sound of shotguns cocking.
Oh, yeah. We have what we call a potato launcher. Here.
Not nearly as violent as a shotgun.
Absolutely. Potato launchers will get rid of them every time. But we knew it had to be a quality effort, and we knew, you think about it, David, how do you define quality in wine? You know, that's a big question.
You don't dump it out. That's how I define quality wine.
Yeah, good. I like that. But, you know, if I was to ask, you know, a random sampling of your viewers, you know, everybody would come up with something a little bit different.
Sure.
So we had to find, you know, what quality meant to us. And so quality at Benziger means going beyond the varietal characteristic.
Yes.
You think about it, it's not hard to make Cabernet taste like Cabernet. You know, you throw a Cabernet clone on a rootstock, you spray some chemicals, what do you get? You know, Cabernet, it's not that hard to do anymore. So we wanted to be able to capture the zip code or be able to taste the place and also taste the vintage.
I love that phrase, capture the zip code.
Yeah, and the only way we knew how to do that was through the farming practices and really look at not putting as many inputs into your vineyard, you know, so, or none at all. You know, like we have six properties that are actually Demeter certified, one of the hardest farming certifications to get in the world.
Explain it.
You know, organic farming replaces artificial inputs with organic inputs, right? Which is great, or soaps and oils and such. We farm that way too, right? Biodynamic replaces all inputs.
Yes.
With insects, plants, and animals. And that creates wines that are authentic. You don't want to manipulate the vineyard or the vintage. We want a true representation of what happened in that spot at that time. So it's kind of like a time capsule, or I like to call it a genie in the bottle. So when you pop the cork, David, it's like letting the genie out of the bottle. It's like, woohoo, you know, what happened in 2011, right?
Boy, you are the maven of metaphors.
I like that. I'll take that mantle.
I'll take that.
So that's what makes a wine expressive. That's what makes a wine fun. And that's what makes a wine, you know, exciting. And so, you know, we found that by farming sustainably, organically, and biodynamically, you know, each vineyard, you got to find the appropriate farming practice for that place. You know, there are so many up in here in Northern California, especially for us being in Sonoma, we seek out these really special properties and then farm them in a way to capture that expression or that, you know, excitement or what makes that place so special.
I'm very pleased to be talking to Kathy Benziger. She's the Director of Customer Development for Benziger Family Winery. You have to know their wines because there's almost no place that you can go that you won't see the wines. Very consistent wines, but made with some very conscientious winemaking practices. Kathy, there was a time when if you bought, and let's call it organic wine, let's even forget biodynamic, I can remember buying those wines and just going, oh, this is awful. And there was even a point where I would say to people, can somebody please find me a bottle of decent, you know, organically made wine? Because for a long time, at least, and this is strictly my opinion, they weren't very good. And there was a lot of conversation about the idea that, well, maybe you just can't do it. You need the pesticides and you need these outside inputs. But really, was it just a case of figuring out what the formulas were and how to really make it work? Because those wines are great now.
Yeah, I definitely think it was definitely figuring out the formula. And I think what it is really just, you know, you can't do, you know, the same type of farming practices, like vineyard, you got to really look at that place. Okay, I farm this way here, so it'll work over here.
Right, exactly.
You have to find what practices work for that individual site.
It's like every vineyard is a different musical instrument, isn't
Thank
it?
You.
And you've got to learn how to play each one differently.
I couldn't have said it better. Talk about metaphors.
Well, please. I just wanted to up you on the metaphors just for a moment.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
David, you're spot on. And so, you know, it's finding what's going to work in that place. Again, it's capturing site expression. Site can be a block in a vineyard, or site can be, you know, the 85-acre bowl. But we you know, you typically want to break it down to what's going to work in that spot. And I think that through the years, people have really learned that certain farming practices, and also, you know, building up vitality in the soil, building sectaries in your vineyard, creating habitats for predatory bugs or what we call beneficials. The wealth of knowledge for organic and sustainable and biodynamics has grown leaps and bounds in the past. Really, the past, since I'd say probably 2000 is really when people started to recognize that these practices, we're not doing it to be green, we're doing it to make better wine.
Wow, that's honesty.
And that's really, you know, I mean, granted, it's really good side benefit. You know, I have 16 nieces and nephews coming up the pike, so it's my responsibility to leave the property better year after year. But, you know, we want you to buy our wines because they taste good. And then guess what? Oh, wow, it happens to be good for you.
Now, the state of California produces 90% of the wine that's consumed here in the United States. You know, there are a lot of winemakers out there that are going the direction of sustainability and biodynamic or organic. You must have certainly hundreds of friends in the business. What do you see? How much interest is in it? Let me rephrase that. How many people are moving in that direction? Is it a huge movement?
Yes, absolutely. And it's such a benefit for the industry as a whole. And also for our land, you know, to build back this biological capital that we've robbed by farming in a way that just deadens the environment. I'll give you an example, David. 12 years ago now, we had the first biodynamic symposium here at Benziger. And again, when I talk about biodynamics, it's talking about this holistic farming in general, you know, whether it's sustainable, organic, or biodynamic. But we had the first symposium here at Benziger, and I think 20 people showed up, and 10 of them were naysayers. Last year or the year before, we had the second biodynamic symposium, and it was like 275 people were to line up the door. And so, and you just look at your
and the same and the same 10 naysayers, probably.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. 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 But you look at in your grocery store and you look how people it's their values now. Their value is to put things in their body that are healthier, to really be conscientious of how what they do affects the environment. So I think it's also aligning with people's values.
I think that's really what people at least should want. It always amazes me, for instance, when you go in the grocery store and you want to buy, let's say, some juice, and the label proudly proclaims, contains 10% juice. And I always look at that and go, why don't you just put juice in there?
Why don't you just keep it
simple? Why do we have to complicate it with chemistry? It's not necessary, and certainly not in winemaking.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at the trend of restaurants where farm to table, right, is so,
yeah, we so talk
prevalent
about that a lot,
out there.
Yes.
And you know, well, why isn't your wine list like that? You know, where are your biodynamic, organic, and sustainable wines? You know, so I think it's important to look at wine as a food as well in that capacity.
Hey, can I ask you a political question?
Well,
you can say no, but you can say
I don't know if I'll answer.
You can
that.
Say I'll take the fifth if you want to, but I asked my last guest, and I'm going to ask my next guest too, because a few weeks back, the White House decided that they were going to keep some secrets in terms of the wine that they're serving at state dinners because they don't want the winemakers to have some sort of unfair advantage because of the at least implied endorsement by the White House. And I kind of think that stinks.
I think that stinks.
Isn't that awful?
No, I think that, you know, I mean, what an honor to be served at a state dinner.
Thank you, Kathy.
They count that.
Yeah, it's disgusting to me, and I'm sorry, and I don't care who the president is, but when the French wines that would normally be sold for, let's say, $100 are selling in China for $500 because they're getting all this recognition, you know, for these great Bordeaux's. And California is one, or not say, let me rephrase that. And American wines, we have to put a generic blue label across them so as not to give any recognition to something that we do really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something wrong with that picture.
Yeah. I you know what? I'm going to agree with you.
Thanks.
And
it's not about the presidency. It's about, in general, the policy of let's be proud about what we make in America.
I agree.
And especially since we're working so hard to adopt these practices that not only create great wine, but really clean wine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
All right. Kathy, it is so great to talk to you, and tell our listeners where they get information about your company and learn more about what you're doing.
Great. We are a certified biodynamic farm, and we're a teaching farm in the sense that you come to our ranch and you actually go out in the vineyard, get your hands dirty, and learn about biodynamic,
awesome,
organic, and sustainable. So Benziger Family Winery is a place to come not only to drink great wines, but really beautiful piece of property too. And then also you learn about these farming practices that really equate to quality in the wine. And then this weekend from 11 to 2, we're having an Earth Day celebration. Go to our website, benziger.com. You can make reservations for our Earth Day event, for any of our tours. Please come play with us. And when you show up, ask for Kathy and I'll take really, really, really good care of you.
And be sure to mention Grape Encounters Radio. You know, Kathy, this is the first time I've met you, but I already love you.
David, come play with me sometime, would you?
I would love to. And we should even do a show right there from the property because you guys are the bomb.
You will be blown away, David. There's so much to see and to discuss and to explore here. I would be honored to do that with you.
All right. Benziger gets 5 gold stars from Grape Encounters Radio. There's no higher rating than that. And having said that, go out and buy their wines and support companies that are doing great things. Kathy, a real pleasure to have you.
David, thanks so much for all your help.
Oh, gosh, you're so welcome.
Bye now.
Grapes are one of the few things that are better off dead than alive. Well, actually, there are a few people that are better. Anyway, more Grape Encounters Radio coming your way.
You know, for most people, wine is more than just a beverage. It's a lifestyle, motivating enthusiasts to decorate in wine themes, collect the latest gadgets, and coordinate the table setting with wine glasses and accessories that celebrate the season or occasion. It's no wonder that EpicStyle.com is the hottest spot on the internet to shop for wine lifestyle products. Nothing compares to EpicStyle.com's selection of clever, functional, fun, and beautiful products for wine lovers. EpicStyle.com.
This is the time of year when wine lovers start planning their pilgrimage to California's wine regions. The perfect inspiration and companion is the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Featured are profiles of dozens of Central Coast and Northern California wineries, along with hundreds of color images by renowned photographer Robert Holmes, plus highlights of tours, tastings, maps, and events. These beautiful directories make a fantastic gift. Be sure to like the California Directory of Fine Wineries Facebook fan page for wine country news and events each week. Click on the link at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
From time to time, you hear stories about everyday average people who, while cleaning the garage, come upon a painting that nobody liked. And what do you know? It turns out to be a Picasso. I wonder what it would be like to stumble upon a bottle of wine tucked away in a dark corner of your grandparents' pantry that was given to their parents as a wedding present. Rare wines can be very valuable indeed, and every bottle has an amazing story behind it. If you'd like to get up close and personal with some of the rarest wines on the planet, or better yet, if you'd like to take a stab at buying a bottle or two to treasure or even savor on some extraordinary special occasion, then you need to make your way to the St. Mark's 3rd Annual Cellar Classic, an auction of rare and fine wines on Saturday, July 28th in Los Olivos, California. You absolutely have to be there. July 28th in Los Olivos, California. For more information, click on the link at GrapeEncounters.com.
So did the scientists put the gadgets in him when he was a baby? Or was he born that way?
Guess what?
What?
I got a fever. And the only prescription is...
I want to tell you about a safe new revolutionary
gadget lasso,
product.
Gadget magnet, gadget binoculars, gadget laser, gadget ski, gadget blow dryer, gadget flashlight.
I cannot
radar,
imagine a better product today.
I have never seen a man work so hard at looking busy.
No matter what happens, you've got to stay close to Uncle Gadget.
Go, go, Gadget Oil.
Mr. Roboto,
Grape Encounters Radio continues. This is, of course, David Wilson. And, you know, I am a fairly independent cuss, but I must say that these days I would be lost without my friend and co-conspirator, Matt Dubow, the gadget guru from EpicStyle.com. And no show would be complete without you, Matt. I'm so glad to have you on, especially the day before Earth Day.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Are you going to celebrate Earth Day? You going to run around and push one of those great big 50-foot inflatable Earth balls?
Oh, I'm always into Earth Day.
You're into Earth Day. Well, you're an earthy guy anyway, down to earth at least. You know, seriously, Matt, I think you're the most unpretentious person I've ever met. Like, you're the only person who's actually gotten on Grape Encounters and said that you would drink wine out of a red Solo cup.
Red Solo cup.
Okay. And then what happens? Then Toby Keith goes out and he hears that and he writes a song about it.
I made a comment and actually he retweeted it.
Did he really?
He did.
You didn't tell me that. That's so cool. But what's so funny is that Epic Style makes all of these really cool glasses, hand-painted glasses, really awesome acrylic glasses. And every time we sit down together and we're going to taste a little wine, what do? You pull out a red Solo cup. Why is that?
I don't know. I guess I'm old school.
You are such the plumber's sink kind of a guy, you know, really. You've got everything imaginable in your, you know, right in the palm of your hands, and yet you just do things like you're still in college. Every time I'm with you, I feel like I'm at a frat party.
I don't think it's that bad.
Yes, it is. You don't care.
I appreciate the wine that we have together. And it doesn't matter if I can get a glass right away for us. I'm going to get that glass, and it doesn't matter what it is or cup.
Hey, the story that came out recently, very recently, about the state dinners at the White House and the fact that the White House has decided that they want to keep secrets about the wines that are being served at the state dinner, because what happens is then when people find out that it's the Matt Dubow Vineyard, the wine shoots up in price because of the implied endorsement, and they don't want that to happen, and I'm just really bummed about that.
Yeah,
what,
I don't like
what
that
do you think?
I don't like that either. I think they should be proud for whatever they serve.
Because it's a real tragedy. When there are opportunities for us to showcase the good things that we create in America, I think those opportunities need to be taken full advantage of, because we should be proud of American products. There are darn too few of them.
I agree.
Now, here's the thing that I wonder, and I'm dying to ask you. Epic Style makes virtually every kind of product imaginable for wine lovers, okay? And many of the products that you make or distribute you see them in every house.
Every house.
I mean, the chances are, like, if you walk into somebody's house and you grab a corkscrew, I don't care if they've got an electric corkscrew, if they've got waiter's friend or, you know, any kind of corkscrew, there's a pretty good chance it came from you, right?
There's definitely a good possibility, and it's funny because I do receive a lot of gifts that happen to come from my company.
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
Like, people, they go, oh, Matt's into wine, let's get him a wine gift, and you made it.
It's pretty funny. It's happened any time.
That's very funny. With this whole White House thing going on, now if the White House uses one of your corkscrews or vacuvins or, you know, anything that came from Epic Style, they're probably going to put a piece of tape over the logo so nobody will know.
Well, they better not do that.
I'm thinking, you know, somebody's going to be a head of state from, you know, China or Zimbabwe or whatever, and the White House wine steward is going to come over and open the bottle, and they're going to say, hey, that's a really neat corkscrew you got there. Where did that come from? And the waiter says, I'm sorry, we can't tell you, because it would give an unfair advantage to EpicStyle.com. Oops, I said EpicStyle.com. What are the household products? Definitely your signature items. The things that our listeners, when they, you know, go into their kitchen or their bar area and they look in the drawer, they can pretty much count on the fact it came from you.
Well, definitely some of our corkscrews, our soft touch, our two-step waiters, which are Rialtos. I find those at many people's houses. And then the cork cages, I see those all over the place. I have quite a few items that I know Michelle Obama loves. She called me on these, actually. They are our shoe bottle stoppers and our purse bottle stoppers. You know, she's very into
Wait, fashion. You're making this up.
Me?
Are you making this up?
Maybe a little. Maybe a little.
Everybody's going, wow. There's all these stories about the excesses in the U.S. government, and everybody's going, oh my gosh, the first lady's buying shoe bottle stoppers.
She loves them.
I am sure she loves them. That is so funny. I wonder if at the state dinners they have the little wine charms that you guys have been so responsible for making so popular, you know, that you put around the stem of the glass and it indicates that this is your glass. You should really create a whole set of state dinner wine charms, and they could have, you know, all kinds of symbols for different countries. Is it a good idea?
Well, we do have our wine accessories that have the American flag on them.
So well, that's, I thought we'd be nice to the people from out of the country, man.
Well, they're coming over to see us.
All right. But you know, the good thing about it is this. Anybody out of the country, diplomat or otherwise, if you want the coolest wine products, you just go to epicstyle.com. That's it. And you will ship anywhere in the world, won't you?
We will, and we have.
So listen, I'd love to talk to you more, Matt, but I know you've got a great big order that you got to box up and get off to the First Lady.
Yeah, she's waiting for it.
I know. So, you know, it used to be the White House would send a private jet to pick that stuff up, but there's a lot of attention being focused on spending right now.
Right,
which is why
spending is going for Epic Style accessories.
Well, look, at the reason that they're going to Epic Style is because you guys are not expensive. That's the thing. You're the one good thing for government, Matt.
Well, thank you.
And with that thought, we're going to leave you. It's been Matt Dubow, our gadget guru, and really, we want to go to the person who has the most knowledge, and Matt is it. So thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right, that's going to do it for Grape Encounters Radio. We'll see you next week. Have a great Earth Day, everybody.
Don't throw out the wine with the bathwater. You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio.